This is the Home Health Revealed podcast. Hear stories from real industry leaders discussing topics affecting the ever-changing industries of home health, hospice, and palliative care.
Welcome back to Home Health Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Mike Greenlee. And like always, I have the great Vanna Hannavale. I was going to call you.
Vanna, I put the word effervescent in the script today. You were supposed to.
I saw that. That is too many syllables, so I skipped over that word. That is better for me to do that.
Yeah, well, Mike, I'm excited about today because we have a special guest with us, a real thought leader whose book, Create and Orchestrate, has been really buzzing. I've been paying attention to his reviews, his Amazon reviews. So, Mr. Marcus Whitney, welcome, Marcus. And I just want to read your little bio here. Not little. It's a great bio. When Marcus moved to Nashville in 2000, he was a college dropout with a one-year-old and a baby on the way. He waited tables and lived in a week-to-week efficiency hotel. From the outside, Marcus looked like the furthest thing from a budding entrepreneur. But inside, he knew entrepreneurship was his path to a better life. Two decades later, Marcus has founded two innovative companies in the healthcare space, exited a tech marketing company, and co-owns Nashville's new Major League Soccer team. Welcome, Marcus.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Michael. Great to be
here. Yeah, great. Now, did you play soccer?
When I was a kid, you know, yeah. I was a baby. It was my first sport growing up in Brooklyn, New York. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I coach soccer with my kids, you know, because I think all kids go through like a soccer phase. You got to play soccer,
right?
It's one of the requirements. Mm-hmm.
Start a
rite of passage.
I was a good coach. I would YouTube videos, man. Like, hey, because I always wanted to win, right? I got a problem. I need to seek help for that. But
Me too.
I was watching all the YouTube videos. I'd have these kids practice. We'd go to game time, and they would just start rolling down a hill. That's right.
As they should. Listen, right? Kids. We got to let them have fun.
He was at NHBCO last year, which is where I came to know about him, and I went after the conference and rewatched his presentation. So if any of our listeners has not done that, there's a link on NHPCO's website where you can go and watch some of those. It was an incredible presentation, and I was just enamored by the story. I really want you to share, and then I want to talk about the picture that you shared because it was really cool. But will you start just with talking about your own leadership journey?
Sure. Yeah. I had to start by leading myself out of the hole. So I kind of got myself in the hole by dropping out of school and starting a family pretty young, and then looking up and realizing, oh, I have this responsibility for taking care of this family. And so the first thing I had to do was lead myself to believe that I could do more than my lack of credentials would have intuitively led most people to believe. And I did that through teaching myself how to code way before it was in vogue. So this was in 2000 and 2001. Taught myself web programming, went from waiting tables to being a junior programmer at a company called HealthStream that does continuing education in the healthcare space. And from there, built a kind of 7 to 10 year career as a leader of technology companies in the digital marketing space. So did that, and then eventually moved into just straight up entrepreneurship, starting companies, use that to move into venture capital. And now today, my primary job is being a healthcare venture capital manager. So, I think it starts with leading yourself and setting an example for everyone else. I think most people don't listen to what you say. They watch what you do. And I always want to make sure that anyone who's working on my team, I like to partner with people more than I like to sort of manage people. I'm not a good manager, but I'm a hell of a partner. And generally speaking, I want the people that I partner with to know that there's not a damn thing I'm asking them to do that I won't do. And I don't want them to hear me say it. I want them to see me do it. So mostly, you know, leading by example.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I read your book. So, I listened to it. I didn't really read it. I listened to it through Audible. Not a reader, but every morning,
we have an audio book.
Yeah, that's why, Marcus, you were in my bathroom every day for like 30 or 45 days. It was just me and you. We were chilling. You didn't know it, but you were there.
I didn't know that, and I kind of wish I still didn't know that. So.
Well, I'm very transparent, so I figured, I'm a humble guy. So I was like, hey, in the bathroom. That's how it happened. That's how it rolled. That's how I read the book.
That's thought time, I guess.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm super excited to dive into the insights, though, because it was a very fascinating book. When you think about the thoughtfulness and the technology to healthcare, that really resonated deeply with, you know, the listeners who range, you know, our listeners range from either startup agencies to, you know, established agencies and multi-sites. And as you know, this industry continues to face all kinds of challenges, from regulations to staffing shortage. Absolutely. And that's why your message on embracing the hero's journey resonated so strongly. So it's all about leadership and innovation and thriving. So tell me a little bit more about that now, you know, with some of the things you had put in the book.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a tremendous time of change. The healthcare industry has really been nonstop changing since the pandemic, you know, for a variety of reasons. It's a very labor intensive market, as you mentioned. And so, you know, the labor market has been going through all sorts of shifts. And, you know, the term that everyone likes to talk about is AI, but healthcare is not a space where AI is just going to replace the people, right? You know, we still need the people to care for other people. And so, there's been a ton of pressure. There's been wage pressure, labor unions, inflation. It's just been a time of incredible change. And I think that one of the things that you have to do is you have to come into a sense of acceptance that change is the default mode of the world, right? We don't live in a static world. We live in a dynamic world. And I think that simple orientation of understanding that puts you in a position where you can say, well, those changes could be something that I could take advantage of, right? And I think that's really where innovation comes in to play. In the spine of the book that I wrote is two chapters called the eight core concepts, and kind of broke it into two chapters, one about the four core concepts inside of a business and then the four core concepts outside of the business. The one that people always kind of, you know, raise their eyebrow on of the eight concepts is one called growth. And it's an internal concept. And really, it's the recognition that the market is always changing. And if you're not leading change, you're being driven by change, right? And I see so often in the healthcare industry, this is an industry that I think for a long time got real comfortable. You know, it's very, very protected by regulatory pressures. It's really protected by certificates of need. It's really protected by a lot of credentialing. And, you know, for those reasons, it's been an industry that's been very immune to disruption for a long time. And it would always sort of snub its nose at technology companies saying, you can never disrupt us, not recognizing disruption doesn't have to come from technology companies. It can just come from the world, right? Yeah. And that's what happened. A pandemic and the Federal Reserve Bank have disrupted healthcare, right? And so now, you know, healthcare companies are so unprepared for dealing with that they're kind of flailing right now. And I do think we're seeing new entrants like we've never seen before actually get traction, right? Because they're just a little bit more tuned up for how to lead through moments of extreme change. So this is an important moment for healthcare leaders to change their orientation as it pertains to the dynamic nature of the world and realize they got to start leaning in on innovation.
Yeah.
Man, so good. Your book, some people are like a highlighter. I'm a note taker. Like, I'll listen and then I'll just jot some things down. And I'll just tell you, there are so many things and some of the stuff you just said about leadership that is so inspiring, but also just rings so true, like to my core, that I can feel it. And so one of the things that you said in your book that really resonated with me was ambitious, creative rebels make incredible entrepreneurs. And I was like, yeah, you have to have people who are such outside of the box thinkers within the healthcare space, right? To bring that newness and freshness, fresh ideas, all of that. So I love that. Man, the eight things within the marketing is kind of my baby, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the things you said that rang so true, because sometimes I feel like, okay, I don't understand this, but I feel like I need to put this piece here. You said marketing is one of the most comprehensive pieces of owning a business, because you do have to like have your finger in every little piece of it in order to serve it up to somebody for it to be palatable, right? I love that. So thanks for of those things, Marcus.
Sure. Marcus, when we started this company, you know, starting a company is hard to do, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone really has an appreciation until you actually do it and go through it.
You got to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it. And then all of a sudden it changes your dynamic of how you think about business owners. But, you know, one of the things about marketing is a lot of companies can also go broke with that. You know, they throw a lot of dollars at it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of marketers are good because they have all this money they can spend on it. But we didn't have that. And so I said, I need somebody that doesn't need to buy this platform, that platform, this, that, and all others, right? I was like, I need someone that's so creative and unafraid to do. And Hannah had no marketing experience, you know, maybe a little bit, or, you know, she's owned some companies, but she has done such an amazing job And for the longest time, she didn't have any money to do it, but she was just creative. We started the podcast, which helped us grow as a company, just to have the podcast and be able to get out there. But man, she's killing it. And that's, you know, I think the same way is like, you know, you never want to get everyone that's done something. I want people that are thinking way outside the box. And I find that most people, especially in marketing, I'm not picking on marketing people. It sounds like I am, but I'm really not. Is sometimes they can get stuck in that box.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. That,
thanks,
I mean,
Michael.
You see it all the time. A certain playbook works. It becomes known as a quote unquote best practice. And people then just say, this is what you have to do. Not recognizing if it's a best practice, you're not going to stand out when you're doing it. Right.
Love that.
And so a lot of times, and marketing is about standing out. Like, let's make note, you know, there's so many options out here. You have to differentiate. Like, I have a whole chapter about, you know, different is better than better. Right. Like, how do you make yourself feel different to
reinvent
the market,
or
right?
die? That's what you say in your book. I was like, yes.
Yeah. And I actually think that the constraint of not having a big budget forces some of that ingenuity, right? Because when you don't have the big budget, a lot of times the best practice playbooks are just out of reach for you. You might even want to do those things, but you can't. You don't have the resources. So you have to think, okay, what can I do? That's when all the crafty, clever, genius kind of comes out of people and ends up resulting in different things, you know. And look, here's a question for you. I mean, it's changed a little bit now, but in the time that I think we're all relatively the same age, you know, think about all like the greatest music that came out, you know, and not just like the greatest music, like pop music, but the stuff that like changed everything. Like, I think about when Nirvana and Pearl Jam came on the scene and created grunge, right? Or like the origins of hip hop, like the origins of it, right? That music did not come from a lot of money, right?
Right.
Like, that music came from like no money, actually, right? Just being super crafty and creating new sounds. So, you know, constraints are a blessing if you can see them that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm going to switch gears on you because clearly you're an entrepreneur, but I want to talk about jujitsu a little bit because you starting jujitsu as an adult, right? And working to get to worlds and then winning worlds at IBJJF, World Master 4, right? Mm-hmm. Took gold. Yep. Just shows your adventuresome spirit, your willingness to try new things. So these things you're talking about in the business world in your book, like you've applied them to different aspects of your life, to work hard, to really go after your goals. And I love how you frame leadership as a call to adventure. And in Little Rock, when you were speaking, you showed a picture of yourself, not on the podium, like probably most people who had a gold medal at home would have. You showed yourself in a triangle. And that picture was so powerful. I want you to talk about how that picture impacted you.
Yeah. So that, just for the listeners who aren't that familiar with jiu-jitsu, when Hannah says I was in a triangle, that means I was getting choked out and my arm was getting broken. So it was a very bad position to be in. And if you don't tap, then you're either going to get, you know, put to sleep or get your arm broken, right? So it's not good. This is a not good picture. But it was a powerful transformational moment because that happened in double overtime, right? So what I remember most about that was that I could see a path to becoming a champion, you know, but I wasn't quite there yet. But I wasn't that far off. And really that was a moment where I had to sort of decide, was I going to let that, cause I was super sad about that, you know, that loss. It was on a pay-per-view, you know, my whole family was watching, friends were watching. So it was pretty rough. But it ended up being like this catalyst of, okay, am I going to use this as a reason why I don't want to do this anymore? Or am I going to use this as a reason to train just a little bit harder, get just a little bit more focused, tighten up, you know, some of these like holes in my game, and try to become a champion. And so it ended up being the latter. And I think the universal principle there is that you talked about the call to adventure. That's a stage in the hero's journey from Joseph Campbell. And in that hero's journey, there is always the halfway point of the journey is called death, the abyss, which is failure. And if you think about any movie where there's a protagonist that you sort of are rooting for, there's always a point where they effectively die. You know, something really bad or really scary happens to them. And then they have to be reborn and come out on the other side. When they come out on the other side, they are not the same person they were when they went into that, right? When Neo died in the Matrix, when Luke got his arm chopped off, like they come out on the other side, they are a very, very different warrior. And so I think that that's also true in entrepreneurship. I know very few, and I'm only saying very few because I don't want to rule out someone who I know who has done this, but I know very few entrepreneurs who have been successful and their companies have never been, you know, near death. Most of the entrepreneurs I know have experienced a near-death moment in their company, most. And so it's just really important to know that failure is, generally speaking, inevitable if you're doing something, if you're trying to do something great, you know, and yeah. You got to kind of know how to process that and not view it as a final, you know, step, but just kind of that really the halfway point.
Yeah, and just for all the listeners, if you call it karate, Hannah and Marcus will put you in a deathlock.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So I am just a baby white belt. I train IBJJF jiu-jitsu basically just to keep my family together right now. I mean, I enjoy it, but I am married to he's a multiple time IBJJF Pan and Masters World champion. He's now a black belt. So I see the level of dedication that goes into that kind of, gosh, and just the emotional toll. I mean, it's discipline, but it's also like the wins and losses, man, you feel it so hard. And as a wife, I feel it too.
Oh yeah. I mean, my wife goes, she doesn't train, but she's like my corner when we go to Worlds, you know, and we've gone twice. She's gone with me twice. We've won twice. And every time it's just like, you know, we come out on the other side like we've been hit by a truck. I mean, you know, literally. I mean, yeah. It's just like, you know, physically, you just like, okay, you get off the podium and you're like, you can barely walk. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's just like, you're just like, take me to the shower, take me to the steakhouse. You know, you're limping on the plane home. You know, it's kind of a rough way to get a gold medal, right? You know what I mean? It's Hannah, yep. I know you know something about that. It's, you know, there's a lot of injury afterwards, and we're old. We don't heal up that good. So, you know what I mean? It's even worse. But yeah, I do think it's a really nice metaphor. It's a nice physical lived metaphor for so many of the things that you end up dealing with in life, you know?
Yep.
So
I want to share a picture, if you don't mind, sending me the picture of the triangle.
Oh yeah. 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 No
problem. I would really like to use, I mean, I would like to show the listeners because I think it's just such a cool analogy, but also congrats to you on all of your wins. That's incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if you're ever around and want to train, you are welcome at Springfield BJJ.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I actually do love traveling. Right now, I'm not traveling a whole lot because my wife and I, we're in the thick of caring for aging parents right now. So it's a pretty intense window. So we're kind of staying off the road. But, you know, all this too shall pass. And when it does, and I kind of get back on the road, would love to take you up on that.
The jiu-jitsu community is kind of small once you get to know of people.
Totally. I tell you,
every time we go, no matter where we are, we can go out west, we can go out east, Jeff will train with all kinds of people. We've just met some incredible human beings, so that's been cool.
It's a beautiful community.
Okay, back to healthcare and technology.
Yeah.
But when it comes to harnessing the power of technology without losing sight of the human touch, you talked some about this, and I feel like that really defines home healthcare. Any advice for our listeners facing inevitable bumps and bruises along the way when it comes to technology integration?
Oh man, it's really, really hard because I think, unfortunately, a few things. One, the technology is not getting that much easier to use, and kind of for two reasons. One, the technology is generally speaking not that good in the healthcare space, but two, it's advancing sort of rapidly. And look, the people who actually care for people, they also have to keep up with, you know, the standards in healthcare, right? I mean, they're constantly going through continuing education just on best practices in healthcare. And so, you know, everybody who I know who stays up to date on technology, it's because they're studying it nights and weekends, right? To keep up with all the different changes. And I think it's really hard. I think technologists really need to do a much better job of trying to understand what caregivers are actually going through, and try to make technology that's going to serve them and help them to pay better attention to the patient and make their lives easier, and produce better outcomes, right, for the families that they're caring for. So I have a lot of empathy for healthcare organizations as it pertains to technology, and not a lot of empathy for the technologists. We need to do a much better job in making better technology, you know, that can actually help people. Because look, if you're in a home health situation, it's you know, it's already not that great, right? You know, there's already some real issues there, and you know, the last thing you need is technology making frustrating you while you're, you know, in the middle of that situation.
Yeah. Now, these calls to adventure, how does that translate into actionable steps for our listeners?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, I think that the thing with the call to adventure is it usually comes in the form of a gut feeling or an actual invitation that you get to do something. But you know, you're being called. You're actually being called to step up to do something. And generally speaking, the call to adventure is something that you are reluctant to want to do, for, you know, usually because you're afraid. You know, and that's if you're afraid of sort of a gut feeling you're getting or from an invitation that you're getting, that's probably a good insight that this might be, you know, the beginning of the next cycle of your hero's journey, right? And so part of the thing is always the refusal of the call. It always starts with the refusal of the call, and then eventually you submit, you surrender, and you go ahead and you do the thing. And then you go through the trials, right? And you are transformed, and ideally the world is transformed, you know, by you going through that process. So I think that's what it is. It's going to be different for every single person. But it's also one of those things where you know it when you see it and when you feel it, you know?
That's so true. These are really powerful messages, I feel like, for people to carry into 2024. So thank you very much for sharing your wisdom and really inspiring our listeners to dream big as they grow these companies, as they carry out their mission, because this is very missional work that we do. Embrace those challenges and lead with courage and compassion. And I'm gonna quote you again from your book, because this was the other one that I really liked. You kept saying hustler, hacker, hero. And in my mind, you said it like Megan Stallion's classy, bougie, ratchet, right? Hustler, hacker, hero.
But it
is that hero's journey, right? The taking that challenge, looking it in the eye, figuring out your next move strategically, and then, man, going for it and being okay with the failure. And you are so transparent in sharing your failures, your relational failures with your partners and people that you were in business with. And I just so appreciated your willingness to be so raw in the book, because I think if we're honest, we've all had a lot of those, maybe not identical scenarios, but those feelings, those gut feelings, those things, those hard things we've had to work through. And to see your success story and your willingness to just work hard, hustler, hacker, hero, through it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Marcus, quick question before we jump off here. Have you seen any translation or some of your experience with staffing yourself? Do you see that any type of like incentive programs or comp programs, do you see that being effective in the healthcare world?
I think the more important things we got to ask ourselves, what are people actually incentivized by, right? And I think on the personal end, it's quality of life and recognition. And then I think on the mission aligned piece, it's making sure that they fully understand the why and that they can connect their role in the organization to that greater why, right? So their personal why aligns with the organizational why. The organization sees them, and understands that they need a certain quality of life and they need to be rested and poured into so that they can do the best quality work that they can do. I think those things always end up being more valuable and more important than money. At the end of the day. So that doesn't mean money's not important, but like just thinking about what are the fundamental things that as humans, you know, we sort of thrive on.
Oh, awesome, man. Appreciate you so much taking time to hang with us and, hearing your story, reading your book, you know, people, they definitely got to get the book. I mean, it is inspiring. Again, I know it was in my bathroom, but it was inspiring in my bathroom. Again, I know you guys didn't want to hear that, but you know, it's powerful to me.
So it's called Create and Orchestrate.
Yes.
Create and Orchestrate. I can link it to Amazon.
Amazon, Audible, you know, look, all the places where you would buy a book, you can buy Barnes and Noble, you know, kind of if it's an online website where you buy books, you should be able to find it.
You should be able to get it. And it's
on Spotify, the audio book's on Spotify. So, you know,
it's out there.
And then what's next for you? Do we have a fight on the horizon? Do we have another book? What's coming next?
Right now I'm down to brass tacks, really focusing on investing. We have a deep portfolio of companies and we're really focused on that. So, you know, just kind of leaning into the foundation at the moment. And also, like I said, you know, a lot of time focusing on spending, you know, good quality time with our parents and supporting them through, you know, these later years. So, that's kind of the focus at the moment. Yeah.
Well, Marcus, best of luck to you. Thank you so much again for being part of the Home Health Revealed podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. So with that, Hannah, you want to close us out?
Yeah. Until next time, we will see you later. All right. Okay.